Did you know that there is one more reason to move to Canada?
I got my feet in cement. I got my head in the clouds. You might call me demented, but I am too damn proud. I got a hunger for something outside the status quo. So pull up your chair. We are full automatic. We are out and about. We are singing hallelujah with our hearts torn out. No need to beat on what you already know. Your place has been set.
Wow! Hey there, hi there, and how diddly do da do you do there, ladies? Tis I. Oh, I'm not doing my show. Why do I always think I'm doing my program?
it's always all about you.
Yes, shut up. My name is Wanda Wisdom, and you're listening to another episode of Eat This Hot Show. Can I just say how glad I am to be here again with two fabulous other ladies of the internets, otherwise known as Madge Weinstein of YeastRadio.com.
Hi. Yeah, I'm so glad to be back with you here after all these weeks.
Oh, that was believable.
Yeah, no. I'm so glad.
And the lugubrious.
Oh,
Ms.
My
Jesus
goodness.
Christ.
Oh, my goodness.
Ms. Vera Charles.
Hello, everyone.
What Vera the fuck speaks. Does lugubrious mean? And don't tell me to look it up in the goddamn dictionary. I don't want to crash my computer.
It has to do with legumes.
Oh, she looks like a legume?
Yes, a legume.
Okay, which one?
Do you say legume or legume?
Well, I don't legume. Say either very often.
Okay.
Legume.
There are so many important questions facing the world today, and that's
aren't
you
there?
Know, that's one of them, I would say.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah, sure.
We have been out of the studio for, oh, God, I don't know, a month or more. So we apologize. But
I think it's only been 3 weeks. Hasn't it just been three?
Which means probably a total of a month. But, yeah, three shows, about 4 weeks. And Madge Weinstein is completely to blame because she insists on traveling the world and not...
To be fair...
Yes.
Because I'm nothing if I'm not eminently fair. The first show that we missed was completely and totally my fault because
I had it.
You don't make mistakes, Vera. You're always on time.
I know.
You're polyprompt.
Well, I was poly fuck up 2 weeks ago when we were to meet on a nice, beautiful Wednesday morning.
Wednesday.
And I was lounging in bed thinking that you were traveling.
Excuse me.
When you indeed were not. Oh, Wednesday. Hold on. Mm-hmm. However, the next 2 weeks are totally and completely Miss Jet Setter's fault.
True. Oh, by the way, lugubrious means, and I think I was very apt in this assertion.
Yeah,
looking or sounding sad and dismal.
Yeah, that pretty much sums me up, honey.
That's a good word. I'm going to have to use that.
I'm a sad sack.
Lugubrious. I'm feeling rather lugubrious today.
Lugubrious.
And you can, according to the dictionary, say legue or legue.
Okay.
So
thank
if you'd
you.
Like to emphasize legume. The anyway.
We've all learned something new.
So how many vaginas did you explore in the great Amazon basin?
Not that many. Maybe three.
Brazil.
Maybe three, I think. I don't
did
know.
You meet Astrid Gilberto?
Oh, I love her.
I ate her out, actually. Yeah. She's a little old. Yeah, those songs kept going through my mind in Brazil. The Copacabana.
The Girl from Ipanema.
Yeah, I preferred the Astrid Gilberto beach to the Barry Manilow beach.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Definitely.
I don't know what that means, really.
Barry Manilow is a Copacabana song.
Oh, yes.
At the Copa.
When she
it's nice.
Okay, Vera, would you shut up? Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm having a nice morning. I'm singing to myself.
Lugubrious.
Keep singing to yourself in your head.
Okay.
Be miserable. That's your.
Be lugubrious.
Yeah, that thing.
Now, Madge, what was your favorite fast food item?
Oh, my God. It's all fast food there, and it made me so sick. But I would have to say this thing called...
Love.
They call
what
it...
What is this thing called
Will you
love?
Kill that thing?
She got her panty shields on extra tight today, apparently.
Bitch. Listen, so I would have to say my favorite, despite what it did to my stomach, or stomachs, since I am a cow, was this thing called, they call it beef jerky, but it's not beef jerky. It's more like corned beef. It's this shredded,
they call it beef
salty
jerky.
Dye. They call it shredded. No, they call it beef jerky, and it's the shredded beef that's extremely salty, and it's served with fried yucca.
Ooh.
And it's really
that
delicious.
That sounds Jewish, fried yucca.
Yeah. It is delicious, but disgusting at the same time. They also have fried provolone, where they give you a giant basket of fried cheese. And it's way too, everything is like so salty, you could just die.
Now, I did see some photographs of some gentlemen, and is everybody hot in Brazil except for the ugly people, of course? But
well, I have to say that I'm used to being a little bit disappointed by things, and in a lot of respects, I was. But
as
with
in
respect to the males, they are exactly what you see on the porno movies. They really are. They're just gorgeous men down there, a lot of them, and I'm a lesbian. Okay.
Do they all wear Speedos on the beach?
No, some wear Speedos, but mostly it's those mid-rise, like the low-rise briefs. What do you call that?
Trunks.
Yeah, but they're the mini trunks.
Yeah, yeah. What we would call, what you would call the men's underwear here, they'd call them a trunk now, but yeah, they're
okay.
The short.
Right, short hot pants, basically.
Yeah.
But you can see their penises. You can see all of their penises because I don't think they have a little pouchy for the penis, you know? Like, mostly here, you don't see penis, even if it is a shorty short. But I think it's just the material, and then there's a penis, and then there's some rather sheer material. So you see what's going on in everybody's pants.
Were there a lot of above-average penises?
Yeah, but I would say not as above average as I would have thought. That part was a little misleading from the pornography movies.
Well, maybe they're,
but definitely
growers.
Above average, you know.
So, okay, fast food, men with large penises.
And flip-flops. Lots of flip-flops.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's the best place in the world to buy flip-flops. And, yeah.
Now, Vera, I have a question for you.
Yes, my darling.
Do the men on the beach in your neck of the woods, because you got beaches, right?
Yeah.
She goes to the beach all the time. Vera does.
I hated
Lark
the beach.
Scooter.
I have to turn my volume down because I'm going to be blasting you too. Even when I was gorgeous and thin and young and had all of my hair back in the Stone Age, I hated the beach because I've always been extremely fair-skinned and I don't tan, I stroke. So therefore, I've never liked the beach.
So therefore, you can't answer the question, basically.
Well, I can. I drive by the beach whenever I go to work on the west side. I drive over the canyon and down Pacific Coast Highway.
And
so I'm always
shoot people.
So I when you're ogling half-naked men on the beach, what are they wearing?
They, you know what? I despise male fashion because it's like fucking. There's surf shorts, they call them, come down to their ankle. So it's like they're wearing pants. And then they...
exaggerating the ankle?
I swear to you.
Okay.
They come down to the ankle.
Yeah.
And they're their surf shorts or whatever. And I just... The whole sagger thing, I wish it would fucking end with this saggy fucking sagger idiot. When I was young, back in the Stone Age... The tighter the jean, this was on straight men as well as gay men, the tighter the pants, the more fashionable it was. And those were the days.
I don't know what you ladies think, but this is clearly, compared to all the other things going on in the world, this is clearly the most pressing topic. But
yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that tight and short for men's fashion is on its way back.
Oh, please, please, Hydrogen, make that the truth.
I think so too, actually. I've seen hints of it.
Well, can I just tell you, I have this very nice pair of shorts that I like.
I thought you were going to talk about your anatomy.
This type of shorts that I like to wear at the gym. And now there are some gentlemen there that have, you know, picked up this trend. And they're heterosexual and they're younger. And I couldn't hold up a larger sign saying, yes, please, we need more of these short shorts.
When I was young, you had to consider how you were tucking yourself. I mean, that's how tight the pants were.
Yep.
Well, I don't need that. I don't need, like, I don't want to see your snake down your, you know. I mean, leave something to the imagination. A little bulge would be nice, but I don't want, like, your Tom of Finland banana in your pants.
Or you have to rub the business. Or you rub it. You had to rub it to make the, you know what I'm talking about, Vera, where you had to rub your pants where the penis is to make it look worn out?
No, I never did that. I wore Angel's Flight, and Angel's Flight were so polyester that you couldn't possibly wear them out no matter how much you rubbed them.
Maybe that was a 70s thing.
Yeah, it was definitely 70s.
So are you happy to be back? Would you like to go back to Brazil? Better question.
Back. The problem am is there I gonna is no like, back.
Am I going to like Brazil?
Oh, sure you will. Brazil. But one thing I was surprised by is you're a dumb, stupid, ugly-ass cunt.
Thank you.
Well, I'm glad we're back to normal.
One thing I was surprised by is that I thought, because, you know, Portuguese is such an obscure language that there would be a lot of people that speak English. I was very wrong. Nobody spoke English at all. Wow. You can't get by without Portuguese, at least to some extent. They speak more French in France, for sure. They speak more English in France. They speak more English in Germany. And everywhere I've been in Europe, they speak more English than they do in Brazil.
What's their second language?
I don't think they have one. Maybe Spanish, but I don't really think they have one. Like, the thing is, the TV shows aren't subtitled. So that tends to make a big difference, I've found, in how well countries speak English. Because if they show English movies that are subtitled, people tend to pick up the language very fast. And when they don't... Like, for example, in the Netherlands, everything's subtitled. People speak English perfectly. In Germany, there's nothing subtitled, and they're not nearly as fluent. But they're still better than in Brazil. It's probably just a better education system, too, in Europe. But I would definitely learn Portuguese at least a little bit. I didn't.
You're supposed to learn thank you and hello and goodbye.
And my hole is gaping wide for your schlong.
That goes without saying.
So you did
you should
some,
know that in
did you
every
do some
language.
Filming while you were down there?
Well, we were brought a lot of equipment to do so, yeah.
Hey.
Did we actually film? No comment.
We asked.
Now, you know, a lot has happened, ladies, since last we spoke. I mean, the world hath...
May I just interject something very quickly?
Sure.
Because you're right on top of things. You know, I love when you groan at me, Madge. It makes me feel so
well.
Worthwhile.
I love when you have to take 5 minutes to, you know, psychoanalyze
her. Shut the fuck up. Yeah, that's a good one, too. The psychoanalyst. Oh, you're just hurt, Madge. You're just hurt because you've been so scorned. That's why you hate.
No, it's because she's a lesbian. Lesbians hate people, mostly
what
men.
What I wanted to mention was that I saw, Madge, I saw your very first iPad movie.
Oh, did you like it?
It sucked. It was awful.
I was going to
hear you.
Amateurish and stupid.
I put a lot of work into that.
Now, this is one area where I would absolutely agree with Vera.
I am absolutely devastated.
I knew you were. Well, it's because as a child you were hurt, and I think if we go back a little bit,
you know what,
understand
it,
better.
The problem is you're just jealous of my iPad.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want. More Apple products because they're so fucking reliable.
They're great. I got one for my birthday. That's what I got. That's why I have it. I just want to
Okay, well, enough of that. back to me. Get your own show.
I just had to say about the birthday because I don't want people to think I'm homeless and buying iPads because it's not true. I'm just homeless.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
no, I was just going to say that, you know, a lot has happened since last we spoke. I mean.
Like what? Get on with it. If I have to get on with it, so do you.
Thank you.
If drunk paper mache heads who abuse Mexicans would shut their pie holes, then perhaps I could move along.
It's polymer clay. It isn't paper papier mache.
It's whatever I want it to be.
Nobody cares about the dumb clay head. Now get the fuck on. Move on with it.
Tsunami, Japan.
Oh, my God.
Libya. I don't even know her.
You know, I got to tell you, I just read an article that I thought was kind of interesting. The TEPCO... 2 weeks after the earthquake, made a proposal to build more nuclear power plants in Japan.
Yeah,
two weeks after the earthquake. Like, what? What?
Yeah, there's gonna be some tough questions going on.
Well, they're gonna need some new ones after these ones melt down.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
In Japan.
Okay, so let's just get to the point here.
Strike while the rods are hot.
Let's get to the point here.
Yes.
I think that nuclear power needs to end. No nukes.
Madge has spoken.
No, because I say
thus
no nukes.
Thus speaketh the dyke. Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to put a finger in the dyke.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I don't see. I'm, you know, rather this whole thing is just I felt rather ambivalent about it because I guess I don't know enough about the science to say whether or not we should not be doing nukes versus other sources versus, you know, I guess I just don't have a strong opinion one way or the other. Do I want nuclear power plants that leak and kill people? No.
Oh.
I would not support that.
Aren't you taking a brave stand?
I know, but I don't Jesus. Know. I don't know what else would work. You know, I was listening.
Controversial.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, you're going to lose a lot of listeners over that.
But, you know, Cole, like, for example, how do you get... Okay, so here's the question. How do you get that much energy in a way that's not killing a bunch of people in the long run?
Okay, the sun and the wind.
Okay, yeah. First of all, we don't have to get that much energy. Japan was overpowered. We're just building more power plants on the assumption we're always going to need more power instead of looking at conservation. We do look at conservation, but not as much. Nuclear power industry is very strong. As far as what Vera just said, yes. You know what? The thing is that I've been thinking about a lot lately is nuclear power. Okay, it's a great idea, but the nuclear power plant should not be on Earth. We have this gigantic nuclear power...
What are you doing
with
your sound?
Shut up!
I'm sorry, but you're doing something with your sound. Is it...
Huh?
Is it?
It sounds like you've got a mic on your breast or something.
Yeah, are you rubbing your microphone or
no,
is it?
No, it's on my. It's a headset. Oh, maybe the thing's getting loose. Hold on.
Yeah, you got to tighten your thing because all I'm hearing is static as opposed to your
mellifluous
voice. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So go ahead. What were you saying? You don't remember,
well,
do you?
We should have nuclear power, but the nuclear power plants should not be on Earth. And we have the largest nuclear power plant that we know of, which is called the sun. And
right.
It is right fucking there. It is nuclear power, infinite source of nuclear energy, and no nuclear waste.
But
all
now,
we have
isn't
to do
the problem
is take
with
that energy and bring it here?
Isn't
they can't make it profitable for themselves.
No, it's not about profit,
what,
though, isn't it about, and this is clearly
sure
where we get
profit.
Into problems because
it's
none
all
of us
about
are science.
How is it not about profit? This is
no,
a capitalist
no, no,
society.
Listen to me. I'm okay. saying, I don't, I mean, it could be about profit, but what I'm saying isn't the bigger question, like, just the scale? Like, in order to provide the amount of energy that, you know, we would need, you would not be
yes.
able to store and deliver.
This
no,
is the
that's
problem,
just a,
though.
That's just a limitation.
They
due
don't,
to
they don't
want to. It's an excuse.
They don't want to overcome that problem because
right.
overcoming that problem would be hugely costly, and then the profit margin is nil.
Yeah, but is there a lot of, are there really a lot of profits in.
In oil?
Well, in oil, certainly. But
in Germany, they took some bold initiatives, I think, to reduce the dependence on fossil fuels, I think, by like 2050. And they have a big initiative to use solar energy, among other things, there. And it has been very effective. They have all kinds of solar farms and things like this. It is very profitable to not do that. And the other thing is, I think, in a way... The problem is going to take care of itself. A lot of the controversy is really unnecessary because nobody wants to insure these power plants. So I don't think in America it's going to be that big an issue because nobody's going to be able to build the things unless the government decides that we're going to insure it, which we might well do because our government is such a fucking pussy right now.
No, our government's going to allow more drilling offshore before they would ever approve new nuclear power plants. I mean, you know.
No, but they do. We are approving them. I mean, it's happening. They're approved. The problem is they're just not able to get insurance for them. But they're happening because Obama guaranteed all this funding for them.
Well, I know in our neck of the woods, because we have nuclear power plants here in Minnesota, mm-hmm. and I know that there is just absolutely no way that politics would allow.
I had no idea you guys had nuclear power plants there.
Mm-hmm.
We have one. There's one right near me here in Miami. It's like 20 miles away.
Oh, now, so they're using lake water to cool them?
I believe they're using Key Biscayne, yeah. I mean, yep. Biscayne Bay, so it's pretty much the ocean.
Yeah. Wanda, they must be using lake water. Because
I don't know. It's Prairie Island is our nuclear plant. It's near a bunch of Indians because, you know, that's what we like to do.
Who cares about the Indians?
Oh, it says it's located on the Mississippi, so that presumably.
I mean, if it's an island, I would imagine there's water.
Well, yeah, because there has to be a source of water. That's what was confusing me. That's why they're all along the coast.
Right.
It looks like, yeah, right along the Mississippi.
There's a lot of them in Illinois, too. I'm just, you know, but... The thing is, yeah, I think it'll just kind of take care of itself. What concerns me is China, because they're building right now, they have under construction something like 25 nuclear power plants there. And they don't have, you know, as much concern for, you know, profit motive or whatever. The government says build them, they're just going to build them. And of course, as we know, it affects everybody. I also have been very upset by the amount of disinformation in the media. Everybody's talking about radiation, and there's a lot of calming nerves going on where people are trying to say, oh, it's not that bad, it's not going to hit us. And they talk about studies that say, for example, the UN put a study out that said there were only like 50 people that died from Chernobyl that they know of, which is true. But it's also extremely misleading because there's tons and tons of people that are going to die in the future, like hundreds of thousands, if not millions. The problem is it's very difficult to follow radiation damage. It takes a long time. And it's not just about radiation. It's about toxic plutonium, which is the most toxic substance on Earth. And what happens is you breathe it in or it gets in your body. Just one teeny tiny microgram or whatever it's called, some teeny tiny amount, gets in your lungs. And it's what they call an internal emitter. And it just keeps radiating out forever and kills your cells and you die over time. It's extremely toxic.
I think what was most frustrating in terms of the media was just that I don't disagree with you that obviously there are tragedies abounded from this whole event, and certainly nuclear power is risky, and I would have no doubt in believing that the media has misportrayed the way or not told the story maybe as honestly and scientifically soundly as they should. But it was just the media's portrayal of you know, the American media's just obsession with, like, the evil that's lurking just around the corner, and it's going to come get you. And it just seemed very fear-driven and not science-driven.
The problem, like, I see it, is that of course it was not science-driven, but I don't think it was... I don't think they were scaring people more than they should have been scared. Let's put it that way.
You don't think that the way that they framed stories was to get eyes on their stories, which
means
sure
of that. No,
scare
the
totally shit
agree.
Out of people.
What I'm saying is the ends justify... No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, yeah, they've scared people too much, but in this particular case, people need to be scared, even though they did it the wrong way.
Yeah, but scared people... But that statement you just made is highly suspect, because what do you mean... They need to be
what
scared.
I mean is this. What I mean is, if people don't get scared of what's going on and see this for what it is, which is a very dangerous situation that could cause even more, I would say catastrophic consequences, it already has, but that it's just something really horrible that continues to happen. It's the third time we've had a major nuclear disaster in the world. And it's people need to see what's going on and get scared so that they say, hey, no more of this. No more nuclear power plants like they did in Germany.
Yeah, but
Germany,
that's very risky to sort of get people to jump up and down and say we don't want this, but they don't really know why they don't want it, and they only don't want it because of fear. Like, I wouldn't doubt that, you know, the people that actually can study what happened after, you know, looking at exactly what went wrong.
I think it's more dangerous to still have the nuclear power plants than it is to do that.
As long as...
I mean, it's not like people are suddenly going to become enlightened.
Oh,
like,
shut up for just a minute, will you?
You can take all these...
I started talking. The polite thing
to
do
to
when
science.
Someone starts talking is to stop talking and let another person speak.
Oh, yeah, this coming from the most annoying cunt on the face of the earth who never shuts the fuck up when I'm trying to put out a sentence. Fuck
all right,
you, Vera. Your turn.
What I wanted to say was...
my fingernails look lovely today. Say. Isn't that a funny word, say? It sounds like so.
What I wanted to say was that
spit it out, Vera.
People,
spit it out.
The people that
peas.
Are
I've had peas and carrots for lunch
are in charge of power want to keep the profit margin high, and therefore they are going to continue to lobby for, they're going to continue to create circumstances where they can create a power source that is not something that we can do in our backyard. We can't have a nuclear power plant in our backyard. So therefore, the more that they can make something unattainable by us, the higher their profit margin is going to be. That's the form of power. That's the form of power that's going to go. If they created a circumstance where the photovoltaic cells that collect sunlight and turn it into power didn't have to cover an acre of land in order to to be, you know, to be powerful enough.
Can I just add something quick, Vera? I'm not interrupting. But and the other advantage of them being absolutely enormous is that they'll be too big to fail, just like the banks. The banks get bailed out because they're too big to fail. A nuclear power plant that is so big and has an accident is going to get bailed out by the government, by us.
Right. So if they create a circumstance where we can have a photovoltaic cell the size of even our roof, let's say, that's even too large because it can you can get them smaller, right, down to a sheet of paper that can produce enough power to power your house, they're never going to fund the research that would create that, because then we would all have those sheets of paper that were creating power for our house, and they wouldn't have a profit.
And a lot of the oil companies own the solar patents, and they just sit on them.
Exactly, because oil is incredibly
profitable.
So what
would you for example, France. What would you do with France?
Oy vey, France. I don't know. That's a mess there.
I mean, don't they get like 80% of their energy from nuclear power?
What? I have to say, Wanda, I think we've got enough problems over here with respect to nuclear power to not have to worry about France. I think that's their problem. I mean, I realize it's our problem too in the world, but fuck if I know. Fuck if I know.
Yeah, I guess
sovereign nations. They have.
Democracy is a wonderful thing, but not, you know, generally speaking, when it comes to making rational, calm-headed decisions.
Yeah.
So I get worried when the mob gets, you know, whipped up into hysteria about something that they don't have very much of an understanding about, and then they decide to start making policy decisions based on it. I mean, I guess that's one of the
way this government runs.
That's again just one of the drawbacks of democracy, but
of fear mongering, because that's how things are done in the United States now. It's creating fear and creating irrational terror of something, and repeating a lie so many times that it becomes in people's minds the truth. And it's just been a lie that's been said over and over by hundreds of different people.
What is?
Whatever the particular contingent wants.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Whatever the Republicans are trying to do, they'll just say it over and over. You know, where's Obama's birth certificate? Where's Obama's birth certificate? Where's Obama's birth certificate? And pretty soon, the numbnuts that are the people of this country,
but
that are
where
numbnuts,
is Obama's birth certificate?
Yeah, exactly. Are suddenly going, hey, where is it? You know, I never saw that darkie's birth certificate. God damn it. I knew it. I knew there was something fishy about him. And that's what happens.
So just a side note, I have a friend who lives in Japan and lives in Tokyo, and his parents
are they okay?
Well,
everybody,
his dad is dead, but he was dead before
what?
The tsunami.
Oh.
Anyway, but he is tragically. That's actually Sendai is the city that I studied in when I was in college.
Oh so my god! And that's right gone. Now? Sendai's gone, isn't it?
No, the city itself is not gone, but the coastal areas are gone, and there are towns that are actually gone, but.
Oh, God, those videos were just terrifying.
But I will say that, I had sent him an email early on, like, hope you're okay. He and his partner live in Tokyo now. And
was this your boyfriend?
Yeah, this is my first homosexual lover.
Oh, I love that story.
And
the moonlight coming in the room. See, I remember that story, Wanda. You know how long ago you told that story? And I remember that story.
Oh, good for you. Get on with it.
Very good memory. Anyway, so he was fine, but they shuffled off to Singapore to get the hell out of town because they just didn't know what was going on. But tragically, they learned that because his brother and mother live in Sendai and they were fine, but his brother's wife's sister was whisked away by the tsunami and they found her like 20 miles down the coast.
Oh, my God.
That's horrible.
So, yeah. Weren't those videos, I mean, I think this is probably
the videos. God.
This natural disaster above most because of technology. I mean, you got to see, as it happened, this giant wave just destroying the entire coast.
Isn't it fascinating how similar it is to the Godzilla movies?
Oh, I that was a running thought through my head that
know,
I'm waiting for.
It's funny that you both said that, because actually on the news there was a story about how Google searches of Godzilla.
Oh my God!
Seriously, were on the rise after the event, because there's, you know, the Godzilla movies come out of the post-apocalyptic, you know, 1940s when we bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and it's the whole thing about nuclear power creating these mutant monsters.
Well, they also have, I mean, a history of tsunamis there. It's part of their culture, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I mean, because they've been
like,
getting...
what was that? Have you seen that movie? It's a cartoon. God, I really liked it. It's an anime cartoon. I watched it. It's like Pogo or something. Pongo. Have you seen this? It's one of those Studio Ghibli anime movies, and it's about this little... Oh, fuck it. I don't know. It's just about the sort of a mythology of surrounding these tsunamis, and it's personified. You
they
know.
Have, you know, they have the beautiful Japanese art paintings of the huge waves and everything. So it is definitely part of their culture and their history. But like Wanda said, we are technologically in a place where people have basically video camera studios in their phones. And then it's in their hip pocket, so they can whip it out. And this one, and I don't know which...
Sorry.
Oh. Is that your brand new iPad, or
no,
is
that
another iProduct?
That was my phone.
Well, I don't remember. It was on Facebook, and these people were standing on this hill, and they were taping this event, and you literally watched the water as it began to just wet the street a little bit, and the cars were driving out of the way, and then it just got bigger and bigger until it was taking the buildings away. It was the most dramatic, frightening, unbelievable thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, there was some like reporters. They were like, we have to, like, they had to decide, are we going to get in this car and drive away, or are we getting out of the car and running for shelter? And they made the decision to jump out of the taxi and like run up to these people's second floor of their house. And it was a good thing they did, because like literally 10 seconds later, the car just gets like washed away.
It was astounding and just heartbreaking. You know, I don't give a shit about people, like I've always said to you. I don't really care. I make my immediate world nice. But I felt my heart broke, because these people didn't do anything to deserve this. It wasn't because they were being typical asshole people. They were just living
their
lives.
They're not Christian.
Oh, no, they bombed us in Pearl Harbor. Didn't you see that on Facebook? There were all these people that were like, this is just payback for Pearl Harbor.
I love Americans. God. Don't you love Americans?
Yeah, Hiroshima and Nagasaki wasn't enough.
I know, yeah, I mean, really.
These are also the people, two-thirds of high school students think we were fighting on the side of the Germans during World War II.
No way, really?
I swear to God.
Did you guys see the movie Hereafter?
No.
It's with
Matt Damon. It just came out, but I guess it came out the same week of the tsunami, and they had to pull it from Japan, because the opening scene is... It's a dramatization of that tsunami and the last one. Where was that?
Indonesia or Sumatra.
Yeah. And they just reproduce it so
it was in
vividly.
Phuket.
Did you see it, Vera?
No, I didn't. It was in Phuket.
Yeah. Well, you should see the movie, at least the beginning. It's just this amazing opening where they show this, you know, these people in the tsunami getting swept away, but it's like from their vantage point. Anyway, interesting.
Well, we also have the United States now fighting a war in Libya.
Right.
So
in this budget.
But there will be no ground troops.
And, just wait.
What do you think about the Libya war thing?
I don't know. I think it's.
Why don't we stay the fuck out of this shit? Why don't we just stay the fuck out of this shit and cure our problems here and let those idiots blow themselves up, torture each other, and do their own fucking thing? We are not the goddamn gods of the fucking universe.
What do you think, Wanda?
Yeah, my take is a little less lugubrious. But I think this is a case where this is an argument between the Libyan people and their leader. And so it's really up to the Libyan people to figure this out. I don't think it's not that we can't help, but I think you have to be really careful anytime you start shooting and dropping bombs. And, you know, I'm not a fan of war in general. And we've only seen in the last decade what happens when you casually walk into another country and start blowing shit up. So yeah. It's not necessarily because of the, you know, like we shouldn't be fighting in other countries, but it's more this is like not a dictator killing his people. It's like. Or I should say, it's not like a genocide. It's more like just a...
May I pose this hypothetical, not hypothetical, but just pose this question. It's not rhetorical either. I really want an answer. Why is it that we are responsible for another country's, whatever's going on in another country? I understand the concept of the schoolyard bully and you should step up and stop the bully from picking on the little kid. But... does that really have to go worldwide? Do we really have to, even though atrocities are happening and people are being tortured and killed and all those horrible things, why is it our responsibility as a country to step in and do something about it? I don't understand that mindset. Can you help me?
I can't. I think there's a number of reasons why that's the case, ranging from valid moral reasons to profit motives. But what I think is... you know, I disagreed with Afghanistan, I disagreed with Iraq, but this one, I can kind of see it, but at the same time, I don't think we should have done it all purely because of money. Because it's kind of like, for me, it's like, okay, you want to buy an iPad this year? That's nice, but you can't afford it. Buy it next year and it'll have a better screen. It's like, okay, we can't afford to invade Libya this year, but invade it next year and it'll have, you know... more people to kill, you know, or something. We'll have better weapons. Like, we just can't afford it. It's not in our allowance to go to war this year. Mm-hmm. Another one. We just can't afford it. But I do think that there were some good reasons going into this. As usual, we executed it wrong. I mean, the guy, did you watch the speeches that, what's his name, made Gaddafi? He's just fucking crazy. And he was just this babbling lunatic. And he's picking up people left and right and torturing them and killing them.
But I ask you again,
going from house to house.
Why is that our job to stop that?
It's not our job.
Why is it our why is it even our moral responsibility to stop what's going on in another country?
I think that's where you get in trouble. And you know, when the president, certainly when you see a bad guy doing bad things, you want the bad guy to go away. But when it comes to foreign policy, I don't know that making a moral argument is the justification for a use of force, because then, you know, every use of force just becomes making the right moral argument.
It's usually an
excuse.
Which
the Christians do all the time.
It's usually used as an excuse, like Bush used for Iraq, saying, you know, we liberated these people, you know, blah, blah, blah. This man attacked his own people. But I think that there is something to this, in that I think that Madeleine Albright, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton had a big say in this, because, you know, Madeleine Albright said, she did an interview on TED recently, and she said, you know, one of the biggest mistakes we made in our administration was not going into Rwanda, and there was a genocide. And I think that Obama, aside from the other motives that aren't so nice, I think that he had a motivation to not let a genocide happen that he could prevent.
So that, I mean, and I think that's obviously one of the forceful arguments that he made. But okay, so he stopped it. Now what?
Well, I don't know if he stopped it.
And you know what? Not only that, there's going to be another and another and another and another and another. And it will continue as long as...
You know, that there's sub-Saharan, or what do you call it? The African countries further south of Libya, where people are like butchering and killing their people. It does beg the question, like, I just don't think you use moral arguments to use force, because you'll be doing that for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And so if you remove the morality issue from it,
then it's just oil.
Then it is. It's profit and oil.
And if you could say geopolitics in terms, I mean, it ultimately is oil, but it's not.
Yeah, but at
it's
the same
not
time,
for us.
There were so many reporters being abducted. I was just watching an interview of a New York Times reporter who was almost executed. They put him and his camera team, and this has happened so many times. His camera team was belly down on the ground, you know, with these people and their guns. I mean, these people are attacking everyone. It's not that they're just attacking each other, Vera. it's not just a living problem. It's like reporters go in there and report. They're getting killed. They're getting attacked. And you could say, yeah, they shouldn't go in there.
Yeah, but Madge, I mean, Madge,
and they're attacking British sovereigns and American sovereigns.
What about China? You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
I hate yeah, absolutely.
What about any other country? The reason that we go in is not because of the morality.
Yeah, but China
is
not actively abducting our journalists left and right. They abduct their own journalists.
Keep the fucking journalists out of the country.
They have the right to go there. I mean, they report. That's what they do.
Yeah,
okay,
but
you know what? Then you take the chance of getting abducted, tortured, and killed. If you want to go over there to report because that's what you need to do, then you have to pay the consequences of that action.
Vera, you're really a huge cunt.
Well, I may be a huge cunt, but it's the truth. If you're going to step in front of traffic, you have to take the chance that you're going to get hit. So you either stay out of the traffic or you step into it for all of your moral purposes and you get hit.
And if they're that ruthless,
yes,
that's fine. Just let them go. And then
absolutely.
You think they'll stop in their own borders and just
well, see, well,
you know what? Then that changes. See, that's when the point changes. We didn't get into World War II because the Jews were getting slaughtered. We got into World War II because the Japanese came over and bombed our soil. That's why we got involved in World War II. Okay, we had a computer crash there, so hopefully this fixed it.
We had your computer crash.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was my computer.
Don't make me responsible for your faulty technology.
But it's because it's a Macintosh, right? Isn't that
it is. I'm recording on a fucking
what happened?
Apple piece.
It just went
whatever.
Bluey?
Well, I work on Pro Tools.
Yeah.
And I have two external hard drives hooked up to this Mac. I never remember what this fuck is called. PowerBook G4.
Oh, God.
And I don't know, sometimes it just the hard drives can't keep up or the Mac can't keep up and the Pro Tools just stops dead. So that's what happened. But
okay, really nobody cares, computer. But can I ask a question?
Yeah, we were right. Go ahead, but we were right in the middle
yeah,
of
yeah, yeah.
You were talking about the fact of why we got into World War II. You were kind of agreeing, yes. But kind of disagreeing with
me. No,
I was
just saying that Pearl Harbor was just the political cover that, you know, that was because you had all these people going, we don't want to fight no war for them Germans right. And them French people.
I think that's true.
So, you know, I mean, the reason that we fought a war is obviously going to be more complex than just money or oil or whatever. But I don't know what the conclusion is to that statement. But
well, I think the point
the conclusion
that I was,
is Vera's a cunt.
Okay.
Well, that whatever.
Fine
but
with that.
Cunt or not. My point is that we don't belong in the places that we're at. And it's getting worse and worse and worse with. Putting ourselves, Bush did it, you know, putting ourselves into situations where we do not belong.
But see,
and
that's part of the wounded child syndrome that you so often accuse me of having. I don't mean you personally, but as a nation, we're wounded from people like Bush, you know, bringing us into these fucking wars because he had a personal vendetta. I mean, it's fucking damaging. I think it makes us confused as to when, I don't know, I'm going to get a lot
I
of
could
war.
See, no,
I'm
I could.
I'm not advocating violence. I'm not even advocating. I said we shouldn't be there, but it's because of money. My reason is different.
This is obviously a big flaming pile of duty, but I have a question. why don't, like, if it's just about Gaddafi, why don't we just go kill Gaddafi?
Well, I'm sure that we are trying to. It's not that easy.
But don't you think it's that easy?
I
mean, you can have, in this day and age, you can have a, you know, radio-controlled fly that zooms in.
I don't know. I suspect if it's that easy, Obama would be dead, too.
Yeah.
I really do.
Well, that's why I just think, you know, what we're hearing about this whole theater is probably a lot more theater than reality. And so
see, that's why I love the WikiLeaks, because that's how we get, you know, we've talked about that in the past, but this is why things like WikiLeaks are great, because you can see past all that veneer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. We don't know what's going on. Really.
God, the world is so complicated.
Well, watch TV more and especially reality TV.
You'll retreat. Excuse You'll me? Retreat into your own world as you get
she
older.
She must be having her smoothie.
I am. When my computer
fucking
crashed, my husband came in with my smoothie.
God, sometimes I just want to murder the fuck out of you.
No, I think that was I think that was actually a very spirited, you know, that was a very spirited debate.
And it was, except for
it's
one
actually,
exception,
it probably
was without,
in a
it was without vitriol.
In a very retarded way, it probably is I think, the argument that most people have in their heads.
Right.
Most Americans, anyway.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. Did I just say that most Americans would be having an argument in their head about the use of force in Libya? I scratched that. I don't think that's actually the case.
I know. Yeah, I was kind of thinking that too, but I'm like, I'm trying to figure out what really would be the conversation in America's head, and I'm thinking it definitely has the N-word in it.
Should I deep fry it, or should I just put it on a plate as is?
Do I like the new song from blah, blah, blah?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, what about, do I like Beverly Hills? Real Housewives more than New York?
Did you know that there is one more reason to move to Canada?
What is it?
I posted it on my Facebook. Yeah. Slut Walk.
Oh, yes.
They had a parade in Toronto for sluts. And
that's good.
I'm an advocate of sluts.
I was kind of a slut. In the late 70s, early 80s.
You were.
I was, yeah. I used to go out with my friend who he was 20 years older than I, and he absolutely was madly in love with me, and I was very clear that that wasn't going to happen, but you could take me out and buy me drinks. And I would leave him and then go to the baths before I would go home to my partner. Isn't that awful?
Oh, yeah, I think that would qualify as slut.
Uh-huh. Slut. And then I'd come home from the baths. My partner was in bed thinking that I had been with my friend. Yeah, I was a slut.
Oh, hey. Yes? I met Tammy Faye's brother on Friday.
Oh, my God.
How did that happen?
Because we did this event at the Loring Theater called Where Tammy Tied the Knot. She and her husband, Jim, first husband, got married in the basement of the Loring Theater back when it was a Christian evangelical auditorium. Mm-hmm. And so they held this event because it was 50 years ago on the 1st of April that they got married. Isn't it funny that they got married on April Fool's Day?
Mm-hmm.
And so they had this event where they played the Eyes of Tammy Faye documentary, and then they had a wedding reception, 1960 okay. style.
Now, is he a Christian, too?
I don't know, but he got up and he stood up in this audience in this
with a bunch of drag queens around
with
him.
A bunch of trannies and said the reason Tammy said the reason the gays love her was because she accepted them for who
right.
they were, not who she wanted them to be.
Right. Bull fucking shit, because it's just the same as my fucking Christian sister. At the bottom of their core,
stop
they love
eating
you.
And talking.
Now
what?
Have you seen the documentary though?
They love you but hate yes. They love you but hate the sin.
I don't think she was that. I don't think you can boil her down to that.
She's the epitome of it though.
I don't think so. She might have been at one point, but I think if you watch the way she changed as a result of the shit that happened with PTL and the way that they were treated by the Christian community, I think she really began to look at things a little bit differently. I mean, ultimately, I don't know.
Based on how the documentary portrayed her, yeah.
Yes, yes. And, of course, the documentary was produced by a bunch of homosexuals. So.
I have a bottom line with Christianity and Christians and all of that shit. And that is, if you can look at me and say that my relationship with the Grinch is just as valid, just as right, just as good in God's eyes as a marriage that's been done in a church, then I believe that you're open and you understand. And you can look at me and say that there's absolutely nothing wrong with being gay. Then I accept you as being an open-hearted, loving person.
That would be
person.
An interesting test. I should interview people on the street and ask them.
Well, yeah, but
Let me say this,
yeah.
That if you ask, because I did a whole show on Tammy Faye. If you ask Tammy Faye, is it okay to be gay? She would say, no, it's not.
But you
it's
don't
not my,
know that.
But it's not my, yes, I do know it because she isn't, to the day she died, was an evangelical Christian,
but you
Wanda.
Don't, but see, this is where I think you have to be very careful. And I think
all
that
right.
it's very easy to get overly
I'll be careful.
Black and white, and the world is just not as black and white as we would like to make it seem. And very often we take others to task for making the world very black and white. And so in return,
yeah,
I think
get on
should,
with it. We get it.
Okay. You don't know that, to be sure. You are making assumptions based on the way she's been portrayed, the way the words perhaps that she said. But you can't say that to her dying
so
day.
So I can't trust the words that she said to... To mean
no, but
she
when
says.
Has she ever? When has she ever said that I love the sinner or hate the sin or whatever? Whatever the assumption that you're making about what she believed. When, I mean, where did you hear that?
Unless she, I believe me, before anybody knew who Jim and Tammy were, I was watching the PTL Club. Voraciously,
I know, but I'm not talking about her in 1970.
If I could finish my sentence, you'll understand what I'm saying. I watched her continually all through the changes and everything that happened. I watched her through PTL. I watched her through the disaster. I watched her through the cancer. I watched her through the remarriage. She never changed her core belief of evangelical Christianity. And in order to be an evangelical Christian, I'm not saying just to be what people call themselves Christians nowadays, but in order to be an evangelical Christian, you follow the tenets of Christianity. And one of the strongest tenets of Christianity is that homosexuality is wrong. So unless she became a different kind of Christian, which she never professed, which she never talked about, then she believed that at her core, homosexuality was wrong. But she became a very loving, very open person, very involved in hospice, very involved in all of that stuff.
Yeah, what? I think it's reasonable to make that assumption. But at the same time, she had every opportunity to say, you know what? I believe that being gay is not wrong. If she said that...
And she never did.
Right. See, that's the thing. It's just like when you're gay but in the closet, people are going to assume you're basically saying you're straight. By her being evangelical and not specifically saying she doesn't... think gay people or whatever are equal, then she is implying very strongly that she agrees with that philosophy, I think.
I agree.
Yeah, I guess I would not want to hold somebody accountable for beliefs that I don't know that they hold. I mean, I understand what you're doing logically by saying
you're not,
she doesn't...
You're not a member of the KKK unless you hate blacks and Jews.
But don't you think it's more? Don't you think people are way more complicated than a set of beliefs that you know somebody wrote down on a piece of paper?
Of course,
so just because she didn't have the come to Jesus gay moment doesn't mean that she didn't have compassion for people in her heart. I'm not trying to say that she was.
I'm sure she had compassion for people in her heart, but did she think that gay people are equal and in?
But what if she didn't? What does that mean?
If she didn't, then so that what means if she's somebody I wouldn't want to hang out with.
Okay, so it's just a matter of...
I mentioned it rather passionately, forgive me for my passion, my sister, who I actually get along with very well. My eldest sister, who is a born-again evangelical, well, she's not so much evangelical, but born-again Christian, and very much believes that homosexuality is wrong. Mm-hmm. And I tell her all the time, as much as she loves, she adores me, and she adores the Grinch, she absolutely loves us, but I looked at her one day and I said, I can't, you must understand, I'll never be able to be super close, super friends, super loving in intimate relationship with you as my sister. As my sister, can you hear me still?
Yeah, now
hello?
I can.
I hear okay. You. I didn't miss anything.
I said I could never be that way, intimate sister, a wonderful relationship with you, because at your core, you believe that I am somehow wrong.
And what she said?
That there's something wrong with me. And she said, but I love you. And I said, it's not.
But
it
see,
isn't
don't you
enough.
See how that, like, don't you, and I don't know, maybe I'm just being equally strong headed, but don't you see how that is hurting no one but you? That has no effect on her whatsoever. What you just said only is going to affect you and your relationship. Now, whether you choose to have the relationship is obviously up to you if you don't
want
to be around
someone. I don't want to have a relationship with someone who thinks I'm less than.
Well, of course, but you still do have a relationship with her, don't you?
I have the minimal relationship that will keep the peace and keep everybody happy. I don't have an intimate relationship with my sister. I couldn't have a conversation with her because I cannot be friends. I cannot be family. I cannot be close to someone who thinks that I'm less than they are.
I don't see how it's any different from a black person that should be friends with somebody who believes in slavery.
Well, there's a big difference, because one is your family, and I don't know, I guess it depends on what you view family as, but I think you can have relationships with people. I'm not saying Vera needs to have some huge, you know, intimate relationship. I'm just saying I think I would always...
Masters and slaves often had relationships.
I would hope that... I guess I would just always want to err on the side of not trying to remove things from my life because I don't understand them or I don't totally accept them.
See, I understand it completely.
I don't think that there's any misunderstanding on either side.
No, there's total clarity.
Yeah, but there obviously is, because she... Well, this is hard because I don't know the relationship you have with your sister. The way you're presenting it... I have no idea what the relationship is really like, but I mean, what type of relationship does your sister want to have with you?
She wants a very, very close talk once or twice a week, be friends, sister brother relationship. She wants
a superficial relationship, because that's all it would ever be.
Exactly, but she wants it as if the problem didn't exist. And what she doesn't get is that the problem does exist.
Yeah.
She doesn't understand, because unless you are the trodden upon minority, you don't get it. You don't understand what it is to be looked at and be told, I love you, it's just that I don't love what you do.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that it doesn't count that you love me then, if you don't love what I do.
It's tricky. I know a lot of people that have that same situation, you may too, with their parents. And I don't, because my parents fully respect me and think I'm equal and all that, you know. They've told me, you know, we would love to throw you a wedding if, God forbid, anybody would, you know, whatever. But the thing is, yeah.
But see, don't people change and don't people, you know, don't
people
learn?
Well, my parents did. My parents did.
And don't
my
people
mother...
grow? And I mean, you know, again, I just want to be
but
careful that you're...
But he hasn't cut her off. Or she, Vera hasn't cut her sister off. He's just saying it's not going to achieve a certain level of depth.
I had cut off my entire family at one point, and for many years, and have come back around. My parents came around miraculously, but my sister, you know, there can't be this intimate relationship because of that stumbling block. And I'm repeating myself.
Yeah. No. I get what you're saying. I was just saying, like, sometimes it comes across very black and white, and when it comes to, you know, beliefs, you know, what people pretend to be very...
But don't you think some things are black and white? Everything is...
Very little.
Okay, but there are some things that are black and white. And if you... And I want to just present this point one more time. If I looked at you, Wanda, and said, you know, I really love you, but the homosexuality thing and the drag thing, I just... It's wrong. It's wrong in my eyes, and it's wrong in the eyes of the Lord, and it's wrong, but I still love you, and I would really want to be, you know, a good, close friend. Wouldn't you just look at that person and say, that's about as black and white as you get, there's no way we could be intimate friends.
No, and I certainly think that it's that type of statement is going to determine what kind of relationship you're going to have, but I think that's obvious. I'm just saying that...
One thing I really enjoy about our conversations is that Wanda has this tendency to try and be in the middle and try and see both sides. And I don't think you and I really do.
Well, both of us are very opinionated people. And I tend to, in this forum, most especially, believe it or not, tend to keep my opinions to myself because it gets me into a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, and I am not saying this about you, Wanda, please understand that. But
I don't care. You can say whatever you want.
But I wouldn't want to be hurtful. This sounds like it's hurt, and it sounds like I'm aiming it at you, but I'm not. What I'm saying is people that maintain that middle and don't really take a strong stand one way or the other are basically playing it safe. They're trying to make everybody like them. They're trying to be all things to all people. And you
but
can't
see,
be
you're
that.
Making, you know, I agree. I understand what you're saying, but you're making huge, you're drawing huge conclusions and making
to
huge,
what?
Huge assumptions because that's
I
not
said
always.
I said I wasn't talking about you.
Well, then who are you talking about?
I was talking
why
about
why does that apply
who,
to this conversation?
Because Madge said that you try to maintain, you try to see both sides. And I, and what
you know,
I said.
I was watching this documentary, the Ken Burns Civil War documentary. The other day, and they interviewed a guy, and he's like, you know, Americans are wonderful because we compromise. That's what's made us great, is that we're a nation of people that compromise. We don't just take one side or the other. We try to get a consensus. We tried to make that happen, which is exactly why the Civil War happened, because of that asset and, you know, that good aspect of us got us into the Civil War, because when we started this country, we still had slaves, and Thomas Jefferson said, it's a necessary evil if it's a cross we have to bear. But because we didn't compromise on, and this is just this one person's opinion, because of that, this grew like a cancer, this slavery thing grew until we had to confront it. And then finally, we had to do what we should have done in the beginning, which is just say no slavery, and we would have avoided all these, you know, people being killed.
Well, and
I never saw a problem
with
slavery.
In other words, what I'm saying is, yeah, it's usually good to compromise and be in the middle, but sometimes,
well, of course, and everybody, I mean, it comes down to everybody has the issues that they're not willing to, you know, to budge on. But I just think when it comes to human, let's just talk about what it really is. When it comes to religion, I think it's too easy to write off people because of the labels that they wear. And I tend to think that as a community, gay people like to throw religious people under the bus way too quickly. And that, you know, we have to be careful. Not, and I'm not applying this to Vera, but this may explain why I have the approach that I do. I think we have to be careful because, you know, we can, people do change their minds, especially when it comes to something like religion, which is not a fixed identity. You know, religion is something people ascribe themselves to. It's not something they are. And so I just think we have to be very careful and try to understand where people are coming from, or at least it would serve us well to try to understand why people have the thoughts that they do. You know, try to understand them and see if there's...
I do all that.
And again, just like you say, I'm not, you know, being middle of the road and having it
Wanda,
both ways.
Wanda, do you have any close relationships with any evangelical Christians or similar...
My family, I've got, you know, there are many devout Catholics. So, for example, when I went home for a wedding in February, I sat in a Catholic church listening to the priest talk about the importance of marriage and how society has destroyed, you know, the sanctity of marriage over the last century. And, I very easily could have felt as though I was not welcome there and this is not something I wanted to listen to, but I wanted to be there for my cousin because that's important for her. Now, I know she's not a devout Catholic and that her ceremony ultimately was to please her family, which is just a choice that she's made.
But I don't think what Vera's talking about is not being there for somebody.
No, not at all. I'm there for my sister.
It's more about maintaining a certain level of personal integrity. And I suspect, Wanda, that you would do the exact same thing. I think it's just a question of how you're expressing it.
Oh, well, sure. And it would depend on, I mean, if the priest sat there and said, homosexuals should burn in hell, you could believe that I'm not going to just sit there. But
listen, can we end soon?
Yeah, we're way over time, so we might.
I just wanted to mention one last thing. This TV show called, because it's relevant to what we were just talking about, this TV show called The Borgias? I don't know how to pronounce
it. Borgias.
Borgias. Oh my God, you have to watch the show. It just started. It's about, you know, the Pope and how corrupt they were. It's just wonderful. Go watch it.
Okay, can I say something before we quit?
Of course.
I hope.
Vera, you will have the last word.
No, I just absolutely want you to understand that I respect you completely, Wanda. I think you're remarkably intelligent and remarkably insightful, and I sincerely hope that I didn't say anything offensive to you, because that's not... Ugh. I would never want to do that.
And Wanda, I don't.
I appreciate when people call me names and put me in a box, so don't worry about whatever... Whatever happens between us, we're still friends, ladies.
Good.
That's the beauty of this program, ladies, is that we can share a wide range of opinions. and talk about
it. Wouldn't that be a box in a box?
Here's the part where Wanda stretches out the end because she doesn't want to do her work today.
Oh, my God. If you only knew how true that statement was.
I know. Trust me. I know.
All right, ladies. You can listen to us more online at eatthishotshow.com or on our individual programs, Madge Weinstein of yeastradio.com. Say goodbye.
That's right. Thanks. Bye.
And Vera Charles of VeraSpeaks.com.
Bye-bye and buy bonds. Support the war effort.
And I'm Wanda Wisdom, and you can listen to me on WandaWisdom.com. We'll be back next week, assuming that Madge is not flying off to Djibouti.
Djibouti, Djibouti, Djibouti all the time. Bye.
Oh, yeah, this coming from the most annoying cunt on the face of the earth who never shuts the fuck up when I'm trying to put out a sentence. Fuck you, Vera.